I've got with me Ken, who has recently come back from England, and he's been seeing some of the seances with David Thompson. So, Ken, wondering if you could share with us a little bit about what happened.
Oh, I'd be glad to. It was, without a doubt, the most amazing, fascinating, interesting, and important event that I've ever witnessed in my entire life. When you think about it, what could really be more important than the ability to communicate with the dead? The main message I would say throughout the year, there were two seances with David Thompson, one in Newton Abbot, one in Banbury, and then there were the daytime psychic demonstrations with the lights on, where three spirits came through, including Dr. Slavinsky, Honest Jack the Gardener, and William Cadwell, and probably 6, 7, or 8 at each seance. So a total of 16 spirits came through, all materialized except the three during the demonstrations on Friday. And the main message that they all wanted to convey, the number one thing they were all really, really wanted us to know, was that they weren't dead, is that life continues, everybody survives, and that life is eternal. What could be better than that?
Pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, the first thing that our listeners will want to know is there any possibility it was fraud?
Yeah, I grew up in New York. I'm in my mid-50s. After a while, as you travel the highways and byways of life, you know, you can smell fraud. You can smell a scam a mile away, because we've all been scammed in our lives so many times. Mm. When I got into that seance room, I mean, my radar was up, and I was tuned in to everything, everybody around me. I didn't let one thing slip by me. I mean, I barely blinked. I was just taking it all in. When we first entered the seance room, first you're interrogated, you're interviewed, they talk to you, they want to make sure that you're okay, because as everybody knows, with physical materializations, they use ectoplasm, and if somebody isn't a good qualified sitter, they can, and they sneak in a little flashlight or turn the lights on or do something very foolish like that, the ectoplasm gets sucked up back into the medium's body at such a high rate of speed, it can kill him. And as we all know, this is what happened to Helen Duncan in England back in the mid-50s. So they check us out thoroughly, and we check them out thoroughly. So when we entered the seance room, everyone was searched, frisked, like much better than you ever would be frisked at an airport. They had the metal wand that everyone was metal detector to see if anyone had any type of metal objects in them, on them. We were assigned to – everyone was assigned a different seat by David Thompson, the medium. Mm-hmm. He gave a nice little talk beforehand, which indicated to me his conviction, his sincerity, his honesty, and his desire to convey this information to the world. David Thompson doesn't derive – this isn't fun for him. He's sitting tied to a chair, unable to move. His arms and his legs are strapped to a chair. He's gagged for at least 90 minutes. And when he comes out of this, he's dizzy, he's nauseous, he's dehydrated, his neck hurts. It's very uncomfortable for him. And he comes out of it, he doesn't remember anything. Mm. Anyway, when the seance first started, at the first one in Newton Abbot, there were 40 sitters in the room from all over England and different parts of the world. And I was chosen to be one of the two people to go up to examine David sitting in the chair. I examined everything. I mean, I was in there the day before examining everything. Nothing's going to slip by me, believe me.
Did you look for trapdoors?
I checked everything. If someone was trying to pull the wool over my eyes, Houdini couldn't pull the wool over my eyes. Let me put it that way. He couldn't. I really don't think he could. I've been to many magic shows in my life. I've seen magicians in Las Vegas. I've you know, it's pretty tough to deceive me, to pull the wool over my eyes.
Right.
Anyway, I checked that chair so thoroughly. I checked the cabinet. I checked the floor, the wind. Everything was checked, and we all checked. And I checked first. There's two leather, like little belts that fasten him to the chair on his ankles and his wrist. So that's four fasteners. Then they use cable ties. They're plastic, very strong, hard plastic cable ties, about a foot long. The police use them when there are riots and they have to arrest a lot of people when they run out of handcuffs because they're good handcuffs. You tie somebody with that. The only way to get out of it is with wire cutters, a good pair of scissors. That's very difficult with scissors even, or a very, very, very sharp knife. They had wire cutters there to use when the seance was over. So they reinforced his security with cable ties at his ankles and his wrists. I checked everything thoroughly. I looked in his ears. I looked in his nostrils. I looked in his mouth. I looked under his shirt. I checked everything. I mean, I checked things you weren't supposed to check.
Right.
Yeah. So so he was firmly, very firmly tied to that chair. Unable to move his arms and his legs. Then they put a gag over his mouth, okay, so he can't speak.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the seance, the others, members of the Circle Court, who were Samantha, young Samantha, Chris, the Circle leader, and his wife, Rasheen, and there was people from the Zerdan Fellowship, Dennis and Rosalyn, his mm-hmm. wife, Rosalyn. And at all times, they wanted everyone in the room to know where they were. So mm-hmm. they would call out, Dennis here, Roz here, they did everything possible that they could to make sure that everyone in the room knew there was no fraud taking place. So,
right.
So I think to even spend any more time, giving any more consideration to the possibility of fraud, in my opinion, would be a waste of time.
Right.
Because there was no fraud taking place in that room. There was absolutely no fraud.